Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be still in the second book of Samuel. We're going to go through chapter 13. Just going to go through chapter 13 this afternoon. I'll let you guys get there. Chapter 13. Real tragic chapter, actually. You guys have probably already read it. Pretty tragic. Yeah, it's a tragic chapter. Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to read. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Yeah, it's always good to read it ahead of time and as we go through it. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. Chapter 13. Right after chapter 12. Wise guy. Yeah, that's right. Just before 14. In between 12 and 14, you'll find 13. Aren't you glad God gave us a sense of humor? It's good to smile and laugh. All right, let's go ahead. We'll open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name this afternoon to go through your word, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word. That you'd speak directly to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Chapter 13. Like I said, this is a dark and tragic chapter that details the bitter consequences of King David's own sins. It describes a devastating cycle of a family and dysfunctional family from here on, beginning with David's son Amnon. He rapes his half-sister, Tamar, as you guys already know as you have read this. This crime of passion sparks a bloody vendetta from here on out with Amnon and the other brother, his half-brother, Absalom, right? Ultimately ending with Tamar's brothers, Absalom, murdering Amnon in revenge, which we're going to see. Yeah, which is his half-brother, exactly. Two different moms. Same father, David. So we got the characters here in this chapter, David, obviously. We got Amnon, David's son by Ahinom, right? Amnon, so he was born through Ahinom. And Absalom, he's David's son by Maacah. Okay? Tamar. She's a daughter of Maacah as well. Again, same father, David. And the sister of Absalom. So Tamar and Absalom, they have the same parents. David, same father, same mother. Amnon, he has a different mother. And we're also going to read about this fellow by the name of Jonadab. He's David's nephew. And he's described as a very crafty man. He's the one who devises all this plan. So let's go ahead. Let's go through. I'll probably read halfway through this chapter, and then the other half. We'll discuss the first half, then the second half. So let's go through the Word of God. After this, now when it says after this is after David and Joab, they conquered Rabbah. Remember, we read that last week. So after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Verse 3 says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. Probably not the guy you want to hang around with. And he said to Amnon, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day by day? So I guess he's not even eating. Well, will you not tell me? He's asking him, what's going on here? Why are you getting so thin? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. his sister as well, half-sister. Verse 5 says, so Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand. Verse 6 says, then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, King David, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother's Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said to her, have everyone gone out from me? And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom. Right, there's a red flag, right? Now just serve me in the bedroom. Yeah, doesn't sound like that's going to go over well. That I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom, probably thinking, yeah, all right. Right? Verse 11 says, now when she brought them to him to eat, he took a hold of her and said to her, come, lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Verse 13 says, And I, where could I take my shame, she said, and where could I go with my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel if you did this. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, verse 14 says, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and laid with her. He raped her, right? Premeditated, too. Set this all up. Verse 15 says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly after the act. Now he hates her. He loved her, and now he hates her. This guy's a piece of work, huh? And Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. Real cuckoo bird. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. So she said to him, no, indeed. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other thing that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. Verse 17 says, then he called his servant who attended him, and he said, here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her. Verse 18 says, now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. So they would wear this, virgin women would walk around, very colorful dresses, apparel. It says, and his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her, kicked her out. Verse 19 says, then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. A terrible thing, right? Verse 20 says, and Absalom, so now Absalom, not Amnon, this is her real brother, right? Verse 20, he's on the scene. Verse 20 says, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? You probably most likely could tell, right? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother's Absalom's house. Verse 21 says, but when King David heard all these things, he was very angry. Verse 22 says, and Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon. because he had forced his sister Tamar. So let's stop here. Wow, there's a lot going on, huh? Wow, and make a movie right of this. Wow. All right, David, he had two sons, as we just read, right? He had many sons, but two of them here, Amnon and Absalom. But they were half-brothers, right? Same father, different moms, right? David also had a daughter named Tamar, as we just read, who was the full sister of Absalom, okay? Same parents, David, same father, same mother, right? And she was a half-sister of Amnon, being from David as well. And as we read, it says, Amnon, this guy here, he loved Tamar so much so that he was sick to his stomach, it sounds like, over her. And together with his crafty friend Jonadab that we just read, they come up with this plan so that he can lay with her. Right? Amnon pretended to be sick. He asked David to send Tamar to him and prepare his food for him, right? I'm sure at this time, as we're reading this as well, probably nobody thought anything like this was going to happen, right? He's thinking, okay, David's like, okay, yeah, you want me to send Tamar over and feed you? You're sick and all that. And she's like, yeah, no problem, go feed my brother. He's sick, right? Thinking, this seems like, yeah, no, not a big deal. Even so, when she said, hey, when he said, hey, bring the food in the bedroom and feed me with your hand, right? Right about there, that's when you start wondering, this doesn't sound really too right, right? But she was like, okay, I think this thing's going to be fine. And then he forced her to have sexual relationships with him. And then you notice, as we read here, after he slept with her, he hated her. I mean, this is the type of guy we're dealing with here, this Amnon. This is one of those guys you read in the Bible, when you find out he got killed, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, that's probably not very Christian-like, but he's one of those guys you don't mind gets wiped out, right, in the story. Yeah, he needed to go. I mean, this guy was really a piece of work. And it says, we read here that Tamar was greatly ashamed. She went off and cried, and she went to live in desolate in Absalom's house, right? We read that. So she just went away to live alone now by herself. She stayed in, like, staying in hiding. She was so ashamed of what happened that she went and lived with her brother and stayed there desolate. So she wasn't leaving the house. A horrible thing this man did. Then when Absalom learned about Amnon's actions, he concealed his anger. Did you notice that? He didn't say good or bad about him. He just concealed it. And he's thinking, I'm going to pay this guy back when the right time comes, which we're going to read about, which he does. He plans on revenge. Not that revenge is the right thing to do, right? We know that. But he's going to do it. You know, one thing I want you to realize here, as you'll see, David didn't do anything about it. Did you notice that? He got very angry. Oh, wow. Yeah, really? Never any consequences for his son's actions. It says 2 years later, when we pick up here, we're going to read 2 years later past. David did nothing about it. This was the downfall of David from here on out. His family gets so dysfunctional. It's just, it's unbelievable. Saved? Yes. God used them? Yes. But his sin was so great, and we read, his consequences are going to follow. And it just, his sin went right through the whole family, like we talked about. It affects the whole family, right? Sin doesn't just affect the one person in the family. We know that, right? When someone's really dabbling in some serious sin in the family, that affects all of us. Same here. But it really surprises me when I read this. He's the king. He has full authority. This is his boy. Never did anything about it. Sister got raped. He just got very angry. Yeah. I know. It really is when you think about it. It is real crazy, right? It really is a great point. That these guys, God who called upon, and very godly men. Well, man after my own heart, exactly. God calls David a man after his own heart, right? It's a great point. And it is very interesting. And confusing, right? Exactly. But that goes to show you, though, that you can be a godly man, but a horrible father. or a horrible mother, right? I mean, that's kind of showing us, because Samuel was the same way. His boys were terrible, right? The things they did, they were. We read that a while ago, right? That his boys were coming in and taking advantage of all the women in the church and the tabernacle. Remember we read that? They were taking the best meat, right? The offering was supposed to go to the Lord, the fat, and everything was supposed to go to the Lord, and they were taking it for themselves. I mean, and here's Samuel. He's like the godliest man. On the other note, goes to show you, you can be a good person, you can be a godly person, and your kids sometimes can go sideways. Right? We see this. We see, man, this guy had the nicest parents, laid the law down and loving and guidelines, and we got rules to follow here, and they still can go sideways. Okay? So some people say people are wired the way they're wired. So could be the kind of case here, right? Here we got two godly men. There's others too. But that Jacob, exactly. There's another one. So, I mean, we're seeing this throughout the scriptures. You can have a godly parents, but doesn't mean the kids are going to be godly. So, yeah, it is interesting, Tony, for sure. Yep. So let's go ahead. We're going to pick up here in verse 23. It says right here, and it came to pass after 2 full years. So see what I was saying? 2 years gone by. Nothing's been done to Amnon. Got away with that. That Absalom and the sheep shearers of Baal Hazar, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. So when he says that, let me stop there for a minute. He's invited all the king's sons, right? David had many kids from many different wives. He said, hey, I'm going to bring them all up. Come on. Best that he does that, I guess, if you're planning something, then just say, hey, I only want to invite Amnon. Can he go to the woodshed with me? Right? Right? That's what I see. Right? She says, hey, everybody come. Come on. It's going to be a banquet for all of us. Let's go. Amnon isn't coming back, but let's go. All right, verse 24 says, then Absalom came to the king and said, kindly note your servant has sheep sharers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servants. But the king said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all go now. He probably knew his father wasn't going to go. Lest we be a burden to you. Then he urged him, but he would not go. So he's probably telling his father, come on, Dad, let's go. Let's go. We're going to go out here. And he's like, no, no, no. And he blessed him. Then Absalom said, if not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. You see where this is going, right? And the king said to him, why should he go with you? I almost think David thought, that's awful strange, right? Even though it's 2 years later. Huh, no, why does he want Amnon to go? He never questioned any other kids. Right? Why should Amnon go? What's going on here? Verse 27 says, but Absalom urged David. So he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So they all went. And verse 28 says, now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, watch now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. So when Amnon gets drunk, right? And when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid, he tells his servant. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant. Verse 29 says, so the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. So all the other boys took off. They saw Amnon just got killed. Right before them, they're all gone. They all fled, right? They all took off. And it says in verse 30, and it came to pass while they were on their way that the news came to David saying, Absalom has killed all the king's sons. Well, that's not true, right? We just read they fled. And not one of them is left. So the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground. And all his servants stood by, tore their clothes. Then Jonadab, the crafty man, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, so again, he was David's nephew, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all of the young men, the king's sons, for only Amnon is dead." Well, at least he told the truth. "For by the command of Absalom," so he told them, but Absalom's the one who wanted him killed. And this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. "Now therefore, let not my lord the king take this thing to heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead." Well, even if you got a son who's not the greatest, you still don't want him dead, right? He said, "Then Absalom fled, and the young men who were keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked, and there many people," it says, "were coming from the road on the hillside behind him. And Jonadab," the man who planned all that in the beginning, the rape, "said to the king, 'Look, the king's sons are coming. As your servant said, so it is.' So it was, as soon as he finished speaking, that the king's sons indeed came, and they lifted up their voices and wept." So everybody's crying, right? What happened? It's tragedy. And it says, "Also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ahumad, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and he was there 3 years." So he took off, he went in there for 3 years. "And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead." Well, let's talk about this. You almost have to wonder when you read this, had David did something about this, would have this happened, right? Would have the brother still killed him? His other half-brother? I don't know. But he certainly did not do anything about it. He was just very angry 2 years past. Maybe he was still very angry, but he never did anything about it. Right? It says, as we read, 2 years later, Absalom was sharing his sheep in Baal Hazor, and he convinced David to send all his sons to join him. But he was really looking for Amnon. That's who he wanted. But 2 years went by. David never decided to do anything. And just really wonder if David had it taken care of the situation, if this would have happened. Now it's even worse. Right? Yeah, probably not. I think if he might have taken care of it, and he might have said, "Okay, well, David took care of it," however he was going to take care of it, but discipline, seriously, discipline. He just raped his sister, right? You'd think he would, maybe Absalom would be, "All right, well, dad took care of the situation," type thing. "I don't need to kill the guy now." He maybe, whatever, put him into some serious labor or something. You know? But you just wonder, right? It's kind of like a lot of times when parents don't step up and get in between things when they see something's going on. Something bad's going to happen. Look at what we talked about last week with the shooting up my way. The brother shot the sister in the forehead, right? You got to wonder, where were the parents? I mean, like I said, everybody, you know, you can be the best parents and bad things happen. Absolutely. Parents can't take all the blame for that, especially after 18 and they're on their own. But where were the parents in that situation, maybe? It was that, there had to have been a lot of hate going on for someone, a sibling, to shoot another sibling in the forehead, like we talked about last week. You know, you got to wonder, man, it's that old thing. You see something going on. You got some things going on in the family. Man, if you don't take care of it, it's not going to get better, right? It's just not. And it certainly doesn't get better here. I mean, this is just, things are just getting so bad and so dysfunctional in this family. And it doesn't help. Another thing that just me thinking, God designed, right, for king, it says back, I think it's in Numbers, a king shall have one wife. David had several. That's several different personalities, seven different ways, you know. I mean, this guy Amnon here, He had a half-sister. He obviously didn't look at her as a half-sister. Right? You got some halves going on and some other halves, and you got this and that, or you got some, you know. But yeah, so he got revenge on him. He went out and killed Amnon, right? When the opportunity arose, he did it. Right? And then you read here that it was reported to David that all his kids were killed. That was a lie. I don't know who made that up, but that wasn't true. Jonadab at least told the truth there. He said, no, they just killed Amnon. Right? And it says that Absalom now, he fled. Now here's another son, right? Here we go again. You got one sister who's gotten raped. You got one son who just got killed. And now you got another son who just took off for 3 years. Who's gonna now try to take over David's kingdom down the road. So much so he's gonna sleep with his concubines. I mean, we've got some serious. This is my point. If you take care of things in the beginning, sometimes it doesn't have to get to that. Like we talked about before, sin. Sin just continues to, if it's not stopped, it's just going to be a snowball effect. It's going to get worse until something real bad happens. That's what we're seeing here. Right in God's words. Now, when we read also that David was comforted about Amnon, I'm not really sure what that means. Maybe he's like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you guys look at it a little different. But it says that David was comforted. He's like, okay, Amnon's dead. Maybe, kind of saw that coming, to him. He did that awful thing. I don't know, but he said he was comforted after that. And now he wanted to see Absalom. But Absalom, he wants to take over the kingdom. So just a couple of lessons here from this chapter here to draw from, right? Abuse of power can cause deep harm, right? David had a lot of power. Didn't do anything about it, right? 2, injustice left unaddressed, like we were talking about, can lead to greater tragedy. That's my point before. Had David stepped up and said, no, this isn't going to happen, and took care of the situation, this probably wouldn't have happened, the rest of it. A good chance. At least try, right? Just as you're very angry. Well, I'm very angry too when it thunders and lightnings. Right? Celebrate, How about doing something about it with this guy? Right? This also reminds me of parents that let their kids get away with murder. I didn't mean it that way, but you know what I mean. Right? Some of those are the terriblest kids. I don't know about you guys. I don't know. Any of you guys coached in here? Baseball, basketball, anything? Right? You see who I coached all three of my boys right through from T-ball up. Baseball, basketball. I even got into some football with them. And I'll tell you right now, the most horrible ones were the parents. Oh, yeah, there you go, right? Yeah. I mean, seriously, some of these kids that were my worst kids that I had to just keep controlling, who were just disrupting the whole team. Where are the parents? Nowhere to be found. I've had to talk to parents before and say, hey, listen, you keep dropping him off. He is just disrupting the whole team. He shows up here I had this one kid, he shows up with a 2-liter of Mountain Dew and a pack of gum like this, and he sucks down the Mountain Dew. He spit gum all over the field. I talked to parents, hey, Junior over here, you're going to have to do something about him. Oh, he's fine. He just got a little ADD. Blah, 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 blah. Just making excuses for him, right? I'm like, which, yeah. Exactly. It's very frustrating. Exactly. And that goes on. And I think there's a little bit of what's going on here. David's kind of looked the other way, right? Instead of taking care of Junior, he's just going, he'll be fine. He'll work it out. No, he won't work it out. He needs to be disciplined. Man. This kid had, there's a few of them, but this one kid, man, he really had my goat. Yeah, that's another thing, right? Jesus has been talking about this in the book of John, right? He's been telling us, if you love me, obey me. We've been reading that. We're going to read more this Sunday. Over and over and over. Love and obedience. Love and obedience. So you're not doing your kids any favor if you just let them get away with that stuff. Picking dandelions out in left field all day. First of all, they're going to get hit by a ball and get hurt, which happens. I tell parents, hey, listen, I don't think Junior wants to even be here. Why are you bringing it? I'm not daycare. I've had to get into it with them and say, listen, I'm not playing babysitter. I'm trying to teach these kids how to play baseball. See these eight kids over here? Look at them. They got their hands on their knees. They're down. They got the hat ready. Down on. They're paying attention, right? Look at Junior. I'm telling you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's one of those catch 22, right? Yeah. All right. But still. Yeah, exactly. The parents should be parents, right? And then you got some of these other kids, the parents are right there. They'll stay the whole practice. Junior does one thing. Get over here. You're not going to do that. Kids are so behaved. Right? I tell them, you dig it out when you go to second. They're flying. This other kid doesn't even listen to me now. This is how it is. But this is how it is back then. Things haven't changed. Look at these guys. They're right off the program. Yeah. But anyway, before we close here, we can have a discussion. Well, we're actually having that discussion a little early. But just another thing here. From a broader biblical perspective in this chapter, right, is often viewed as part of the consequences unfolding in David's household, as we're seeing, because of the consequences of sin, right, of his sins earlier, right, the thing that he did before the Lord was not pleased, right, he forgave him, right, with Bathsheba. Not only did he sleep with another man's wife, he had the husband killed. I mean, that's bad stuff, right? So this is lasting consequences. A lot of people look at this and say, this is the lasting consequences of sin, what it'll do to the family. He just tore his family apart. Everybody doing terrible things. And again, when wrongdoing is ignored and justice is neglected, pain often multiplies rather than disappears. That is so true. Instead of just take care of it. Right? And that ends chapter 13. Let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. We can talk a little bit and play some trivia. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Word, for speaking to us on this afternoon, Lord. We thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to your Word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.